This is
Jonesy and Amanda.
WSFM.
It's a big deal when a famous band comes to your small town, but still I do think this is a bit over the top. On September 18, 1964, the Beatles changed planes. They didn't even visit. They just changed planes at a tiny airport in Walnut Ridge in Arkansas. They were there for 15 minutes, but it was the most exciting and extraordinary thing that has ever happened, apparently, in Walnut Ridge, because 47 years later, the town has unveiled a statue by an artist called Donny Wee. And the statue is called Abbey Road, and it commemorates them arriving at the airport before they changed planes. They unveiled it last week. Apparently, they had a tribute concert from a tribute band of tribute Beatles, and tribute people from the town came and paid tribute.
This is not much unlike when the Shantuzies tour bus broke down in Watanabe.
Yeah. Didn't they open a chip factory to celebrate?
There was no chip factory open, but I remember at the time someone said, Toddy Goldsmith, you can change your own tyre.
This is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to Watanabe. You know, I like to think that the townsfolk of Walnut Ridge in Arkansas get behind the statue of the Beatles and celebrating their 15 minutes when they were there at the airport.
Sure.
Unlike the people of Cogra, Brendan, who aren't very supportive of their Bruce Lee statue.
He's never been to Cogra and he's not going to. He's dead.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
People are harsh. I blame Billy Elliot for a lot of things. He was the one who kind of started the idea. It's a charming film and lovely stage show. But if you have a dream, you can rise above anything. So since then, kids have been told to follow your dreams. You don't see people in the real world saying follow your dreams. You don't see someone saying, hey, I just opened a dry cleaning business. Kids, follow your dreams. I'm a chartered accountant. Kids, follow your dreams. I just built a deck and a pergola. Kids, follow your dreams. People who are having very really happy, satisfying lives, but it seems to be the domain of the arty types, the punsy singers and dancers, etc., who say, kids, just follow your dreams. Mm. I found a signed photo in Jack's room of the wrestler The Miz. I brought the photo in. Let me describe it for you.
Yeah.
It's a grown man. He'd, what, be in his 30s easily?
Mm.
He's shirtless. He's wearing what looks like a pair of pull-ups with I'm awesome written across his nappy.
Yep.
He's got wristbands on his wrists and he's pointing at his face and sucking in his cheeks as if to say, you know what, I am awesome. And written across this is Jack, follow your dreams, The Miz. Whose dream is that? To be a middle-aged man, or say in his 30s, let's not overstate it, dressed like that with a shaved chest wearing a nappy, follow your dreams. It's a weird dream, don't you think? And if this is Jack's dream, he is on a TV ban for the rest of his life.
Why is there lipstick marks on it?
They were there by accident.
Of course they were.
Jonesy's got a bad. You know it's going to be bad. In fact, I think it's going to suck. Jonesy's been. It's a big fact, gonna be crap.
That's hard to hear. Even I will admit that that is hard to listen to.
I can think of worse things. I never thanked you for doing that for me.
Hey, you know what? I don't think you did.
I'll just point this out, though. When you do an intro, and that's what we call it in the trade for a show, for any segment on a show, it's supposed to praise the actual segment.
Have you heard your segment? Do you know what your segment is?
It's the big fact. And you want one right now?
Sure.
The average human body contains enough iron to make a 7.62 centimetre nail.
Oh, that's just manky.
Which makes me think about the good Lord at his crucifixion from my Catholic days.
You got it nailed.
Don't it's big fact. It's a big fact. Gonna be crap.
I oversold the crap.
Yeah, you sure oversold the crap.
Jonesy and I competed against each other yesterday on Ready, Steady, Cook, Channel 10.
Did you ever watch that show? It's a great show.
Well, you can tell that we've done well because there's an email here this morning from Kez. The subject is OMG. Hi, guys. I had to drop you this line to say don't give up your day job after watching you both on Ready, Steady, Cook. Can't believe what I saw when you were preparing food.
What happened?
Jonesy, you scratched your head and nose and didn't wash your hands before touching food. OMG. And
my
Amanda, you stuck your finger in your mouth because you'd been pricked by a prawn and you never washed your hands. Then, Amanda, you double dipped, not to mention you take a bit of that roll thingy and food which had touched your mouth and it fell into the dipping sauce. OMG. Those poor people who ate after you from the audience, they must have been desperate. Just had to send this to you as my 12-year-old daughter was worried, was horrified by you both. Wow.
Horrified?
Horrified by our meal preparation techniques, which involve scratching our heads and sticking food in our mouths and letting it drop back into the plates, apparently.
But something that happened that's never happened before on Ready, Steady, Cook, when it was time for the winner to be announced.
Here we go. Oh, dear. It's reddish, is it? It's
a tie. Oh.
No! It can't be!
It's a tie.
It's a tie.
Do it again.
Oh, my Lord.
A dance-off.
Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, and dance, and dance, and dance, and dance. Okay, all righty, we're still tied.
You know what I reckon?
Did we dance? I can't remember.
You are the poorest loser in the history of the world.
You
are the
mean?
Poorest, so they rigged it, so no one would be upset. You are the poorest loser in the history of the world. You want a case in point? Fight for your flashback when you lose on that. Break out your air guitar.
I can't bear to watch this.
Amanda's leaving. Amanda's leaving. Look at this. You can't leave. You can't leave.
You know what, though? No. I don't want to watch you dance around like some weirdo playing with your genitals. You do it on your own in there.
Poorest
loser.
You think
I'm a bad loser? This is a classic example of what you do in flashback.
I'm afraid, Jonesy, I've got to go with Amanda.
Oh, for God's sake. You...
He's having a tantrum. Oh, no. I've got 70%. Oh, it's a tantrum.
That is
right up
rigged. That is so rigged.
Actually, maybe I see the sense of that.
So then they decided we'd have a draw.
They didn't want any trouble.
Both my children were at a sleepover birthday party last night.
Hello.
So Harley and I thought, wow, we're here on our own for dinner.
Hello.
Why don't we go to the Thai restaurant around the corner that's, you know, and order something hot and spicy, the sort of food the kids don't like to
eat. Hot and spicy.
So we walked around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night, closed.
Wow.
We thought, well, we'll head back up the street and see if that other one around the corner's open.
Which one's that one?
Monday night. Closed.
A lot of restaurants close on a Monday night.
I know. And yet, bizarrely, there's a hairdresser near our place that has a sign up that says, now open Tuesdays. That's weird, isn't it? So anyway, we went home.
To the hairdresser.
Well, now I've got to rummage through the fridge and the freezer and see what we've got. So we sat down to eat dinner with something I'd thrown together.
What did you have?
Well, I just smeared chicken in something and shoved it in the oven. And we're watching Junior MasterChef. Exactly. We're sitting watching this hideous thing I'd made while we're watching 8-year-olds cook gourmet meals.
Mm.
It's weird. When a 12-year-old says, I was worried I wouldn't even make it past the praline, you think, what's going on? Did you see what the kids were making last night?
Now, Dee, what have you done for us?
I've made a banana and hazelnut praline parfait with lemon zest chules and caramelised banana.
I don't know what praline is. What's praline?
It's like a biscuity or a caramelly thing that you snap.
I'm so glad that you know what it is.
And then there was this.
Bella, how did you go? What have you got there?
I've got a honey spiced ice cream with a deconstructed baklava.
A what? A deconstructed baklava. And then there was this.
Indigo, tell us what that lovely creation is.
This is an Indian kulfi with almond teals, edible silver leaf, and rose petals.
You know, my kids have enough trouble just putting ice cream with Milo on top.
Well, you know, my children won't even make me a cup of tea because they pretend they're frightened of boiling water. Dreadful. But there's something about that show, despite me laughing at the crazy things they're making, it's lovely. It makes me want to cry every time.
What about Anna Gare's food face?
What's her food face?
She does a big food face. When she eats something, she rolls her eyes.
Well, that's what I'm enjoying about it, is you can't slag the kids off.
You have to
put on happy face every time you eat an uncooked sausage.
I think they should have a cup of reality. That's what they should get. That's what they should get. A big steaming bowl
of
reality.
Oh, that's for later in life, Brendan.
On the telly tonight at 9 o'clock on Channel 9, Tony Martin has the joy of sets. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, everybody. And Jonesy, I don't think I've seen you since we were on Kerry Ann together maybe a year ago.
That's exciting times at Ridgemont High right there.
Was it something about seeing Jonesy on television that made you want to do a show about television?
That was where it all started. All roads lead to Jonesy.
Tony was on the Ab Circle Pro.
No, that's the Ab Blaster. I've never used the Circle Pro.
Oh, what's the Ab Blaster?
I don't know. I think it involves firearms, I'm assuming.
It was good for your arms as well then. So tell us about the joy of sets. I know you're obsessive in the sort of the old TV stuff that you love and things you laugh at. So did you just think, hell, let's make a show about it?
Well, it was actually your friend Andrew Denton's idea, and obviously he wanted someone to host it who looked enough like him that people might think it is him doing the program. And he's wanted to do a show like this for years, and he just wanted somebody who could waffle on about television endlessly, and Ed Cavalier fits that bill as well, so he's bashed us back together.
What are the chances with that? Because I was watching some great Prisoner the other night on TV.
Were you?
Some great Prisoner. And it's the bit where Doreen tries to hang herself. And so she's, and all the people are upset, everyone, the freak and bee, and everyone's running into the room to get Doreen down. And as they're pulling her down from her noose, her skirt rides up to reveal probably the largest underpants in the world.
Prison underpants.
Oh, prison underpants. And Doreen has the presence of mind and managed to pull her denim skirt down so it doesn't ride up to reveal the underpants too much.
It's a near fatal upskirting right there. It's great.
So what sort of things are you looking at in terms of TV?
Well, every week we're just taking a different kind of element that you need to have a hit TV show. So tonight's one is obviously about cooking. You can't have a show without any cooking. Mm. So we've been into the archives. We've got sort of clips from, shows that people may not remember, like Keith Floyd and... Julia Child.
Yep.
Of course. I'm claiming that she was only doing that voice so that Meryl Streep would have to copy it in the movie. but then we're also showing how current cooking shows work, and we reckon it's mostly due to the music. And we're going to give a demonstration tonight to show how the music on MasterChef can be used to make anything seem more exciting than it really is.
Do you always find that when things go wrong, they don't go as wrong as much as you would like?
Well, that's it, because we actually had one bit where a whole lot of things were meant to go wrong and it didn't happen. And so we were going, well, this technically is an example of something going wrong. Luckily, Pete Smith was there to put things back on course.
With that golden voice.
And his copyright.
The longest serving employee of Channel 9.
Is he still being paid?
I think so. He still does gear. He was involved in the moving of Channel 9 from the Bendigo Street headquarters where Hey Hey was made for all those years to whatever wasteland it's been consigned to now down at the Docklands.
They've got him in physical labour.
Was he wearing a blue singlet?
Yeah, had to move a fridge.
Driving the rental
truck. They needed someone with really good enunciation to supervise the move.
Geez, what time, Smoko? I'm really fanging for something to eat.
These things need to be moved by next Wednesday. As Pete always points out, the word Wednesday has three syllables.
Tony, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Jonesy and Amanda.
WSFM.